This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. We got to get up. We got to get a getting. Folks are waiting for us, anxious for us to get on down there to the little country church in the bend of the creek where they're gathering together. I just believe that they're there waiting for us. We hope that they're singing. Maybe we can get them to sing that gracious song, What Shall the Harvest Be? Let's see if we can get them to sing that song, if we can. And maybe we can't do it today, but we'll get another. We'll pick out another one for them to sing. And whatever it is, it'll be a gracious song. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that a gracious song? I praise the Lord for the old rugged cross. We were mentioning the other day on the broadcast about much of what you see today, crosses hanging around folks' neck and all of this stuff, and mostly demon-inspired. But this is the kind of cross the old Trailblazer believes in, that old rugged cross, showing forth where our Lord died to save sinners like me. And like you, if you trust him. But this is the old Trailblazer broadcast. We often are remiss in telling you how much we appreciate each one of you helping us with the broadcast. The Lord's supplying the need. And I do tell you, we could go on New Station if you'd help us, if folks would help us. And folks are doing that thing. But we're looking at this study on the old trickster, Satan, the old trickster, how he keeps our folks entangled. But listen, the heart of man has not changed back there in the garden. Religious systems, man-made rituals, schemes, lodge ceremonies, and socialism makes much of the use of the sayings of Christ, but they leave out atonement. In our next study, we're going to bring you some thoughts on demon holidays. And I know that the average person won't have the gospel, but we're going to bring you some what folks call controversial things about demon holidays, Christmas and Easter and all of those things, Halloween. All those things was originated in old Babylon. But we're going to get to that in the next time or two. But we're looking now at this study. Present-day modernists try to impersonate the life, the character, the deeds, and the kindness of our Lord, but they deny the atonement or the gospel. They deny the blood. And we were talking about that in our last study, that the average Protestant church that you know of and I know of, you go in there, you can't find the blood songs in their songbooks. They have a beautifully bound songbook with a big title on the front of it. But you go in there. You do that. Next time, don't be critical. Just go in there when you have a funeral in a strange church somewhere where you hadn't been before. And you just thumb through and look to see if you could find any of the old blood songs. You may find Amazing Grace. You might. You might find that. Oh, but listen. Listen. You can call upon people to try to imitate his holy living. But listen. You can try to put Christ in Christmas. Use all of those catchy slogans if you please. And the world will follow you. They'll praise you and exalt you. But when you preach Christ crucified and the Holy Spirit begins to lay bare the hearts of your hearers, that's what happens under Holy Spirit conviction. You say, well, Trailblazer, what you talking about, Holy Spirit conviction? I've had folks write me long letters, emails, phone calls. Pastor, tell us. I never have heard that expression before, Holy Spirit conviction. What does that mean? I tell you this. The Bible says no man can come except the Spirit draw him. Well, that's the Holy Spirit conviction. When the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, begins to reveal your heart to yourself, lets you see. Right now, as we come into this world, we don't have any knowledge of sin. Oh, we may know if we cuss and all of those things. But no. The Lord shows you under Holy Spirit conviction that you're a sinner, a lost sinner, and you need a cleansing, the cleansing of the blood. We'll get into that a little bit later. But listen, we've had people come up and say, Pastor, this is the truth you're preaching. You're preaching the truth. And I want you to keep on. I get letters almost every day. Trailblazer, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. I had a man call me the other day, wrote me, and he said, I had mentioned that someone called me an old kook. He said, you're not an old kook, Trailblazer. Go on. Keep on handing out the gospel. Keep on playing those gracious old blood songs. Oh, my friend. Listen, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. And then we have folks, the very moment the Spirit of God begins to take the message home to their heart, the message become personal. They begin to be offended. Their pride, they lay bare their rebellious hearts and expose their wicked practices. They have a different story to tell. They have to beat it down the road. They begin to hunt for new pasture to graze in. We have folks almost every time. New folks come into the chapel here. They hear. They may come back one time. You never see them again. They don't argue and fuss with you. They just don't come back. Now let's go into our subject a little more definitely. We've been looking around other things. Why is the cross of Christ offensive? Why is the preaching of the cross to them perish foolishness? Why is Christ crucified a stumbling block to unsaved religionists? Why is it foolishness to the intellectuals or the learned? First, Christ on the cross reveals that natural man in his true light. Christ Jesus, the perfect one, was filled with perfect love for all mankind. He was nailed to the cross with the same humanity for which he died. He is a sinner's redeemer to save that sinner from perishing, no matter how educated, how refined. Darkness hates the light. Darkness hates the light, my friend. And the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen, is that light which reveals man's wicked heart. I made this a little analogy a couple of times in the past. especially up there in Tennessee and in that country where they used to raise a lot of tobacco and all of those things. And I've seen those great old big barns painted red, and they all shut up and nailed up because the folks have either died or they moved away to the city. And on top of the roof, they'll have a sign, Sea Rock City, and those things. That's good advertisement. But those old barns, somebody come along, young couple with a couple of young children, going to move to the country, going to go to farming. And the first thing they do, they hire hands to go out there and open up the barn. And they go in there and they tear off all of those old barricades and boards that they've been boarded up with. And the light shines into those darkened areas. And the first thing you see is scorpions and snakes and bugs and spiders and all of those things. It's a picture of the human heart. When the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, shines the light, not the sunlight, but the gospel light. When the Holy Spirit sends the gospel light into your heart and into mine, we begin to see, I began to see what was in there. All of the wickedness and all of the cruelty and all of the vileness and all of the filthiness and all of those things that was cluttering up my heart. That's what Holy Spirit conviction is, my friend. It lets you see that you are wicked, gone astray by from birth. It lets you see that you have no inherent goodness. The Bible says there are none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. I thought that was the most asinine statement I'd ever read back there years ago, because I thought everybody by nature was pretty good fella. I thought I was pretty good fella. No, I didn't do a lot of things that I saw other folks do. I was kind to dumb animals and those kind of things. But my friend, when the Lord shined that light, the gospel light, either by the preaching of the gospel, reading of the scripture, or witnessing of some sainted soul whom the Lord had saved. And they, listen, have you ever met someone that you walk across the street to keep them meeting them where they won't ask you, has the Lord saved you yet? That's a very common occurrence. Man does not want to be accosted by the gospel. I can tell you that now, because you look on some of these modern-day churches, you look out there, they have 5 acres of parking lot on Sunday morning, not a place to park. They even have trams to bring you, they park so far off. But you come down here to the old Trailblazers church, and on Sunday morning, just a couple of handfuls of folks whom the Lord has touched and given us grace to be here, you see those big parking lots, my friend, they preaching smooth things. They having puppet shows. They having magic shows. They having ballet dances. All of those things, my friend. And they're not telling sinners that they are lost and on the road to hell. They're not preaching God's word. I never hear a modern preacher, those on the television, those on the radio, I never hear them talk about hell is a living reality. Did you know, folks, that hell is a living reality? And you going there if you're not saved? Let's just put it like this. The Bible says the broad road and the narrow road. The broad road leads to hell. It doesn't matter who you are. You might be my dearest loved one, my dearest friend. But if you're not saved, you're going out into eternity lost. And the old Trailblazers are going to be true to your soul. You may slam the phone down or slam the radio back against the wall and cut it off. But my friend, the truth is going out day by day. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast, my mailing address. Radio Missions or the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye and God bless you.